This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. I hope you enjoyed the show yesterday. If you missed it and you want to hear the interview with Miss Linda, be sure to check out our podcasts on the website. So kykn.com. I got a lot of comments. I actually posted on Facebook. I'm not a big Facebooker, but I posted it that she would be on and had positive responses. So
I actually saw that post. Yeah. You don't post very much, but yeah, when you do, it's important. Pay attention to what Brent says on Facebook.
My favorite interviewee, I better say that.
Yeah, significant other.
Going to be with her for a long time, let's hope. All right, anyway, welcome to Newsmakers. So many things to talk about today, some things happening in the Capitol. We're going to talk about self-serve gas this hour. It's something I know a lot about. We may even carry that into tomorrow. Some things about the time change proposed.
Yes.
Some things I want to touch about. It's happening in National Picture a little bit. And had things in the news and running into one of our state representatives from Salem yesterday. But let's start at the top of the hour. We got kind of an emergency in Kaiser here, and we want to alert you all and ask for your help.
So the aunt of a 14-year-old girl missing now since 7:40 last night, Sarah Donovan, stopped by the station not too long ago, said her niece, Aubrey Donovan, she's 14 years old, she's been missing since 7:40 last night when she got into a car with three boys. They know that where the boys dropped her off at an apartment complex. They've talked to them, and nobody's seen her since then. She has brunette hair, brown eyes. She's 5'4", 120 pounds. She's wearing a gray sweater, blue jeans, and black Vans as shoes. Again, her name is Aubrey Donovan. She's 14, but she has a mental capacity of a 10-year-old. So as soon as I can, well, hopefully during the show, I can post this on our Facebook, and a little bit later we'll get it up on our website. Just so you know, they have filed a missing police report with Kaiser and Salem Police.
So please watch out for Aubrey. That is a very, very scary situation. She's a student here. McNary.
Yeah.
Very, very scary situation. And have those people pick her up and drop her up. We don't know where she is. We know what happened to her.
Yeah.
So if you know Aubrey, try to track her down for us, for the family, and make sure that she is safe. And if you don't, look for her as you go about your day. We're talking to you, Kaiser.
Or Salem.
Yeah, we don't know where she is, right?
That's right.
So, yeah, be sure to be on the lookout. We would like to report very soon that Aubrey has been found safe and sound.
Absolutely.
Okay, that always sets a dampening tone. I think
sorry
it terrifies
about that.
Me. Yeah, it's there's certain things that are very hard to stomach, and the thought of, you know, it's such a recipe for an ability to take advantage of somebody.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially if they're not up to the maturity level that their physical age would have them be and what have you. And so I don't know. I have I don't have very many violent streaks. I'm a pretty mellow guy. But people who anybody would take advantage of somebody who is weaker than they, I'm concerned.
And you're talking about the young or the older.
Yeah.
Elderly are very susceptible.
Well, let's hope she's taking a nap somewhere, and all these fears and concerns running through my head are unwarranted, and she's taking a nap, or she's shopping, or something.
Or hanging out at a friend's house, and they just don't know.
Hanging out. Let's find out. All right. So, so many things in the news. Let's start with the time change, because that'll lighten it up a little bit.
Okay.
So, they're talking at the Capitol that, hey, I think we'll do this if Washington and California do it.
What?
So they don't want to go alone, of course, and that's probably a good idea. So basically saying if Washington and California both decide to not fall back in October and stay on daylight savings time, then Oregon will go too.
What about Idaho, Montana, Nevada?
What are those people? What are those people? No matter.
What if they go?
There was one quote about these being our major trade partners, and of course we're on we share the I-5 corridor, but I don't know. Well, we'll go if you go.
Uh-huh.
We'll do it if you do it. You go first. So in Washington, they're trying to decide whether or not they're just going to make the decision or go to the voters. Okay. And in California, the voters already passed a measure that says if, I think it's 2/3 of their legislators agree, then they're going to go. So it's getting close in both states. And it looks like if this is going to move forward, it's going to move forward that we will do this when these other two things happen.
Hmm.
And sometimes that's good public policy, even when things like some taxation issues, some regulation issues, even though California likes to regulate things on their own as if they are a small country,
literally
not attached to anyone else. But, you know, sometimes individual excise taxes might rise so that there's at least some equity in the, on the West Coast. Anyway, time change. We may not fall back. We may stop falling back on going daylight savings time.
I'm all for it.
Are you?
Yes.
You're all for that. Okay.
I am.
So it does, you know, it affects things the most is agriculture. We talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
And, of course, school scheduling and whether or not the kids go to school in the dark and all those things. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Well, part of the time they're still in the dark anyway.
Maybe it'll also affect how many prescriptions for antidepressants are handed out in the Northwest, right?
I don't know, because when if it's lighter later, you get to go out and enjoy it. You're outside. So.
Right. Yeah, that seasonal affective disorder, which is a real thing, people.
Yes, it is.
I have family members that suffer from it, not just are affected by it, but suffer.
And you haven't bought an artificial light yet?
And for me, I tend to hibernate. I just like,
what?
In the winter that's dark so long, you know.
You just hibernate?
Yeah, I hibernate a little bit.
I just hang out here under the fluorescent lights.
Days get shorter. All right, a few other things. Tomorrow, we are going to talk a little bit. I saw Kurt Schrader in town, and he spoke on a number of topics. So I'll find my notes for that, and we'll touch on Kurt Schrader's visit. Our U.S. representative. It's always interesting hearing him talk, and especially since he's pretty candid about his colleagues on the Congress. I remember the first time I heard him say, well, the leadership in both parties, including his own, I think this was the first time What's-Her-Face was the Speaker of the House, threw her under the bus.
Wow.
And he said, all they're interested in is in the power.
Yeah.
And we want to get things done. That there's Republicans that are going to get just good work done. There's the work of the people to get done. And the leadership, all they care about is having more numbers on their side and more power on that side. The power is the only thing that matters. It's not actually doing the work. That was scary, right?
Isn't that what we're all tired of?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk here after the break with a young entrepreneur, a friend of mine, had a couple partners, opened a club. We talked about a few weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, my wife and I had dinner at Basil and Board.
I remember you talking about that.
Apparently, I'm not the only person that goes there because I went in there. It was crowded with all sorts of age brackets. So we're going to talk to Matt Swain about that here after the break. And then after that, let's talk about self-serve gasoline and the proposal at the legislature and how some of the news stories are getting some of the things wrong when it comes to self-serve. There is more to know. A lot more to know. All right. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we have on the phone with us my friend Matt Swain to talk about his new restaurant. I was in there, had a great meal. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Brent. Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Hey, so cool place. Walked in, a little different concept. I thought it was funny because I had the salad. My wife ordered the pizza. And of course, that's usually the other way around. Usually I'm the guy I'm the big guy who's having a big thing of pizza. But both were great. You have beers and ciders and all that. And what really struck me about the place, we're talking about Matt's place with his partners, Basil and Board on Liberty Street, was the age range of the people that were there. I don't know if it was just that night, but I swear there's some people there who are still in high school.
Wow.
And there was there was a decent number of people with gray hair, and then there were some 20-somethings, some serious 20-something, 30-somethings. It was this huge mix.
So, Matt, what's the basic concept of draw a picture for us of your place?
Right. Well, my partners, Brian Kaufman, Conrad Vente, Dino Vente, and I, we wanted to create a space that is open to the entire community. So, I mean, Brent, what you describe is definitely our goal. It's a place that's open to everyone in the community. Where it's a little different than maybe what Salem has experienced in the past is it's more of a fast casual model, similar to Bowen Vine or Venti's downtown, where you come in and there's a line and you line up and you place your order before you sit, and then you grab a seat wherever you like. And then after you sit down, that's where things kind of change and we kind of morph and it becomes more of a table service model. So if you want more things, our staff come around and check in and say, would you like, more to drink, more to eat? Also, there may be busy times where our staff isn't able to get out as quickly as we'd like, and then we have a second order window for our second round. So, but for us, we wanted to create a space that is as open to the entire community as possible. That's been our target and our goal from the beginning.
Very cool. I thought that was neat that somebody came around and asked us, they would help us if we needed more dressing. They asked us if we, needed another glass of wine or things like that. But if they're not around, you're saying that's what that second order window is for.
There is a second order space because we don't want people to have to go back through the whole line if they're just wanting another item or, one more drink or dessert, something. And our staff is really good about coming around, although I will say during some of the peak hours, they may not be as rapid at getting to all the tables as people are ready for more things.
But all right, if you haven't been there,
part of our target.
Oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt there. If you have not been there, Basil and Board is on Liberty Street, just south of downtown, really, right across from the Civic Center, where we used to, Arupa used to be in the same space.
Yes,
and you have a private room there, right?
We do have a private room in the back called the Reserve, and it is. You're able to reserve it, it's for a couple of hours at a time, and there is a nominal fee associated with that. Normally, the fee is covered through the purchase of items during your meal. Like a group of 20 will easily cover the reservation fee. And then something that's really cool, in fact, I'm leaving here to go to a meeting to make some more plans for this. The next thing that we're doing is we will be opening up the rooftop this summer, and we'll be the only place, as of now, in Salem that has rooftop seating for a restaurant.
Very cool.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, and a sunny day, it's gorgeous. Especially now, you'll be able to see the new pedestrian bridge from there and all that.
Ooh.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, so tell us, tell everybody about the menu a little bit and kind of food they can find there.
Yeah, so our menu, we were trying to keep it simple and high quality. So our three main things that we serve are pizzas, bruschettas, and salads. Pizzas, they're all 12 inches, and except for the kids' pizzas, and our gluten-sensitive pizzas are a slightly different size just because the crust come pre-made. Basically, it's a one-size pizza, and then we have them topped with high-quality Italian ingredients, capicola, high-quality mushrooms, depending on what you like. One of my favorites is called Sunshine on a Cloudy Day, and it's kind of not what I would have thought of for pizza. It's avocados and lemon zest, and it is delicious. And
that sounds like spring pizza, springtime pizza right there. Avocados and lemon zest, right?
Wow.
Yes. It's really good. It's definitely definitely may push the boundaries for some. It's not necessarily a traditional pizza. We also have traditional, pepperoni or meat lovers pizzas as well. So everybody can find what they're looking for. And then I think probably our salads are amazing. I honestly can't get enough of the salads. And then the thing I think may be one of our biggest secrets is the bruschettas. The bruschettas are it's toasted bread with different toppings, and whether it's lunch or dinner. I actually had it for supper last night with some salad, and it's the variety of flavors that we are able to do on bruschetta, there is no one in the area that I'm aware of doing anything remotely similar as the bruschetta. So definitely try them out. And the cool thing about them is they're cut into small pieces. So if you're with a group, you can share them, and you're not fully committed if something's a little outside of what you may be used to eating.
Cool. And or if you love them and you swallow them whole, then you can go to the second order window.
That's right.
That is cool. I caught the Venti name, obviously two yep. Venti restaurants in town with Dino and with Conrad. Yep. And I didn't catch your other partner's name.
My other partner is Brian Kaufman, and he's also a part owner of Bow and Vine. Downtown. So we all four came together with our various restaurant experience. And my previous experience was in helping launch Broadway Coffee House. And then together we found that our giftings are all quite differentialized. And so we all bring different strengths to the table. It's been a really great group to be a part of. And I feel really privileged to be part of this group of guys. They're doing really good things in the community beyond restaurants. And it's great to be part of that.
It is, and it's nice, and thank you for spending some time with us on the radio. We like here at Newsmaker to spotlight people who are doing positive things and investing in Salem. So, you know, every restaurant's a risk. Everybody knows that. You know, it's a high-risk venture.
It is a
high-risk. The restaurant business.
So it is with such a high risk, and you had all that experience brought to the table. I know a lot of restaurant owners that, they did it for 10 or 15 years, and then they struggled after that. What's your game plan down the road?
Well, I think what's been unique about this restaurant venture, this is my third restaurant venture I've been part of. My first one was overseas in Spain. I think what's been really awesome in this venture together is that we've been able to bring the best of from all of our previous experience of the four partners. So the best of human resources, the best of menu design, the best of interior design, the best of tech. So when you establish a new restaurant, the challenge is, like when you're saying like 10 years down the road, is that everything's been established, and so it's hard to make changes. You're constantly making changes and adapting to what's happening. But when you're starting fresh, you can kind of launch with all the best of ideas all at once. So we were able to be very intentional in a lot of our design, menu design, things that we think will give us longevity moving forward. Learning from the experiences of Venti's and Bow and Vine and Broadway Coffee House and our other business ventures, and just kind of picking like what is it that makes these things successful, and then kind of morphing them all into our best hits, if that makes sense.
It does, and one thing they all have in common is local ownership.
Right.
People who are in our community, who invest in our community and take a risk in our community. So if you're looking for food and drink, you know, check out Venti's and check out Bow and Vine. Bow and Vine, wow.
Yeah.
What a burger down there. Holy cow. And, of course, we're talking to Matt Swain, and he and his partners opened Basil and Board. Tell us a little bit about the name.
Yes. Oh, the name is one of my favorite parts. So we went round and round in the naming period. We knew the board part represents both the table that you sit around, that the community partakes to the food, but also a lot of our bruschettas and charcuterie come out on a board, like a literal wood board. So it has both a literal and a figurative meaning. But Basil came from Dino Venti, grew up in California, and his uncle Basil, he referred to him as Papa Basil. Papa Basil's brother died, and when his brother died, Papa Basil adopted his children. He had a very large family. I think it was like 12 or 13 kids. And so Papa Basil adopted his nieces and nephews and raised them as his own. And in his home was known in the Venti family as just a center of life and community, and the table was open to everyone in that family. And so, to us, it kind of captures that idea of community and taking care of each other and looking out for each other. And it's just such a powerful story. And Dino reached out to his family and said, I've always wanted to honor Papa Basil by doing something in a restaurant to commemorate his life. And his entire family was like, gave him the green light. So
that is cool.
That's how we named Basil and Board.
So we've got the spirit of Papa Basil and the hospitality of the literal board to break bread.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. You can take that if you want. You can just put that right in there. The spirit of Papa Basil and the literal board in which we'd break bread. All right, before we run out of time, tell everybody the address, if there's a website, what hours you're open.
Yes, it's 500 Liberty Street, Southeast. It's just as you come over Liberty, the library's on the left, and we're on the right. Our hours are 11 to 9 every day, except Friday and Saturday. We're open until 11 p.m. Our website is basilandboard.com.
Okay.
We offer social hours in the afternoon, which is like a happy hour from 3 to 5 p.m. and then 7 p.m. to close. So we have some alternative menus at those hours. We have a really nice lunch menu if you're coming in by yourself and you don't want a huge pizza or a huge salad by yourself. You can come in and get smaller lunch options.
Appetizers, desserts, the whole gamut, right?
Yep.
All right, so what about beverages?
We serve local beer, local wines, and we have amazing coffee from Cova Coffee Roasters out of Portland. We do a limited cocktail menu, and we do some handcrafted sodas. So we use Portland Soda Works, and we make each soda by hand to order. And we also have some sparkling teas, which are teas that are lightly sweetened with sparkling water, and they're light and refreshing and sure to be a hit in the summer.
Now I know why you're going to be successful. Because that personal touch to like making each drink and things like that adds to the experience of being at the table, hanging out with your friends, and customer service.
That sounds fantastic. Matt, I look forward to our next meal there. Sounds like there's a lot of things there to try.
So
that I have
you're
not
taking
tried.
Me to dinner then.
I haven't even taken you to some of the other places.
That's true. We got to go out and experience these things.
What is I going to tell you, Matt? The back room, appropriate for people of groups, what sizes? Up to 20, you said? So people can have like 20, a company meeting in there.
It depends on if you're wanting to sit everyone around the table, I'd say 12 to 14 comfortably. Okay. If you're looking for a place where you maybe have people standing and sitting, 20-ish. Definitely come in and check it out and take a look at it and see if it would fit your group. And then when it's not reserved, it's open. Anybody can come in and sit down in the reserve, even if it's not reserved.
Thank you for being with us. We're going to run, but we'll be talking to Matt Swain of Basil and Board, along with three local partners and restaurateurs. Check it out. I've had a nice meal there. We recommend you do, too.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break and come right back, talk about self-service gasoline on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Colored Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on this fabulous Willamette Valley Day. It's a great day to be living in the Willamette Valley, as they all are, some better than others. But anyway.
So most of the time.
All right. Oregon and self-serve. This is a topic that really gets people going.
Yeah.
I mean, it has as long as I've lived here. They're very emotional about it. And it has been flopped back and forth, both in the industry, in the gasoline retailing industry, and in the legislature and in public opinion for a long time. So as proposed at the Capitol, there's a bill to allow some self-serve. Only a quarter of the available pumps can go self-serve, and three quarters of the pumps need to be manned for full service. And yeah, that's a proposal.
They don't want to cut out all the jobs all at once. I mean, come on.
Right. And it has come up. It's one of the footballs that's been passed around. Is this a jobs issue? And how valuable are these jobs, especially if it's a recession? Or if you're ever going to have anything that impacts full employment, you know, it might be right now where we're at full employment.
Right.
So jobs is an issue. Safety is pretended to be an issue.
Yeah, right.
We'll get into that here in just a second. And then convenience, uniqueness, all these things. Some of them are just people don't want to do it.
Right.
They get all up in arms. All right. But so let's talk about what's real and what's not real.
Okay.
All right. So safety is not real. The whole argument of safety, frankly, it's embarrassing. It was written. Let me tell you the truth, folks. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
The self-serve ban was a law. It came into effect in the 50s. Behind the scenes, it was being pushed by gasoline dealers who thought if they banned self-serve, it would prevent big oil from heavily investing and coming over and taking over their industry. It was a defensive move by gasoline dealers because they thought big oil is going to come in and just throw up all these stations and have self-serve and run them out of business.
Uh-huh. Okay?
So everything having to do with safety was a ruse.
I believe it.
Everything having to do with safety in the law, and even when the law was strengthened in the late 90s, early 2000s, was a ruse. I don't want to say lie. It's such a harsh word, but it's a joke. It's a little embarrassing, Oregon, because in the law, if you ever read it, it talks about Oregon's unique status in our weather and, you know, challenges and blah blah blah. And I'm thinking, I think the people in North Dakota and Alaska might have some challenges.
They're laughing at us.
They're laughing. It is embarrassing that we basically made it sound like Oregonians are too incompetent.
Yeah.
You know, because it might be raining out, and that's we're too incompetent to pump our own gas.
Have you pumped gas?
Oh yeah. Well, I pumped it growing up, and then I pumped it as a gasoline retailer.
I was also a gas station attendant myself for many years.
Oh. There you go.
And I worked in a convenience store and also pumped the gas. And I also lived in Washington State where they have self-serve and full service.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood how in Oregon I couldn't get out and pump my own gas.
I know, it's funny. It's not safer to have gasoline attendants, people. You think about it. There's one guy doing 5, 6, 8 cars.
And what kind of training has he got?
There's one attendant per car in the self-serve states.
Yeah.
So the safety thing is ridiculous.
It is.
So I'm not going to go, don't send me hate mail. I'm not going to promote one or the other. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But it's not safer to have one attendant helping, running all over the island and helping cars than it is to have you individually pumping your own car.
All right.
That is not safer.
Right now, most stations, they have one attendant per island, which has like 4 pumps.
Mm-hmm. And I see some people that try to do it with one on 2 islands.
The 2 islands, I did that too, and it's not fun.
All right, so here's the other big fallacy. Here's the other big lie.
I love
the big lie in gasoline retailing. Every article says only Oregon and New Jersey do not allow self-serve, right? Like we're the same as New Jersey. We are not the same as New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey has a ban on self-serve gasoline. Here, we have a restriction based on how you pay the bill and what club you belong to.
True.
It really makes me mad, folks. In Oregon, here are the exceptions. Hey, if you own a business or some sort of entity and you want to pump your own, you can get a cardlock card. Right? You see them on the CFN network and the Pacific Pride's the one we see a lot.
All
in this
over
area,
the place,
right?
Yeah.
That's self-serve, people. That's self-serve.
Right.
It's self-serve gasoline. The only difference is the form of payment, how you choose to pay for it. Right? Let me tell you what else. If you run a diesel rig, self-serve ban does not extend to diesel. And I've seen gas stations. Actually, there's one in Independence said diesel is self-serve. You can pump your own. You can pump your own if you're riding a motorcycle. There's a lot of people in those expensive bikes. They don't want anybody scratching their...
Well, car too. I don't want anybody scratching
exception.
It.
You can fuel your own airplane. You can fuel if you're a member of a country club that has their own tanks. You can self-serve.
Hmm.
If you're in a farming or a rural co-op that has their own tanks, you can pump your own. Self-serve gasoline is alive and well in Oregon. It is absolutely legal. It's just not legal if you're going to go to a retail station that's open to the public that accepts cash. Right? That's the restriction. Honestly, I don't know how the pro self-serve contingent in the industry hasn't filed a lawsuit on constitutionality based on equal protection. Because right. they're giving a competitive advantage to special clubs, right? So that's the truth, folks. It's legal in Oregon, and it's legal in rural counties now. So you said you were filled up your Camaro in Astoria, right? Yourself?
Yeah.
So counties under 40,000 individuals.
So that would include Independence, wouldn't it?
Can do self-serve.
Wouldn't that include that? Independence? Yeah. Dallas?
Oh, no. 40,000. No, I don't think. Well, because West Salem is 35 in itself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Independence is 10. Monmouth's 10. Dallas is 12 to 15. So, yeah. Anyway, so now the proposal is that they would expand it all over the state. But basically, you're going to have one segment. If you have four pumps, one of them is going to be self-serve. So I understand it. Some people don't want to wait for the attendant, and some people don't want to get out of the car.
Well, okay? That's what full service is for.
That's what full service is
so
for.
One island would be full service, and the other island should be self-serve.
And that terrifies people. Because
I don't know why.
Because they go to California and they can't find service. They don't think they have the option anymore. And it's true. And here's the history in California. It's like they had full self-serve and full serve. And then people voted with their pocketbooks. It wasn't forced upon them. It was not a big oil scam. You know, it's like they make a higher margin on premium than they do on regular.
Yes,
you know?
They do. They get me every time I fill up.
And in California, they were charging considerably more. This I haven't been there long, but considerably more for full serve, like 50 cents gallon. So the margins there were fatter.
Wow.
But people were still, so people were not choosing it. Anyway, I think that the market chose in California and other states. But here, we're going to legislate it, and we're going to mandate the jobs. And, you know, I'm kind of predisposed. It might be my libertarian streak already running, you know. Don't tell us who we need to employ.
Right.
I remember being squirrel. Hold on. Brent went sideways. I was out in a different country. I was in Africa, actually, and I'm in a restaurant, and there's like five patrons, and there must have been like six waiters. And I asked the guy, I'm like, why are there so many people here working? I mean, why do you have so many people on duty? And he says, the government requires us to have this many employees.
Wow.
Oh, that's crazy. That's insane. What kind of place would require you to have service employees? You know, and then you come back to Oregon. It's like, oh, yeah, Oregon does. They require you to have service people.
Yes.
It'd be like telling Winco, which is the discounted grocery store here in town, that they had to have attendants carry your groceries out, like Roth's does in their green tie service. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, it's the same thing. Well, what, you can bag your own groceries or you can pay more for service. But in gasoline retailing, we're going to legislate that issue because it's gasoline.
That go makes figure. No sense.
That's what I'm saying. All right. I think we're always going to have it because Oregon likes it. It makes us quirky. Every time a legislator sees a bill, their grandmother or their mother or their wife calls them as somebody and says, I don't want this. Don't you dare vote for this.
Yeah,
you know,
and then it dies.
But for a while there, for like 20 years, I think it was part of every single legislative session. Somebody introduced a bill to do something about self-serve.
This is the time it's going to come. We need self-serve.
Yeah, and they are they are calling this a compromise bill because they will mandate you do have. And the other people that come out to lobby, you have a handicap lobby, and you have a lobby for the elderly, and so
forth. That's what the full service is for.
And sometimes there's been proposals to protect them and say, well, you have to have the ability to serve, even if you're self-serve people with a handicap sticker or the elderly and this and that.
Or the beginner driver doesn't know how to fill up their gas yet.
So yeah, it's going to be hard to learn.
The ones that need to learn how to change their tires too.
The flip side of that argument for me is if you go to the discount grocery store, sometimes there's the seniors right there who are bagging their own because they're on fixed income,
right?
And they're stretching their dollar, and they don't want to pay for maybe a higher-end service,
right?
The grocery store, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have that ability in the marketplace for those seniors, mm-hmm. but then you're going to take that away from the seniors who want to pump their own gas and save 10 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm. But see, like, the compromise is that it would be the same price for full service or self-service.
That's in the compromise bill, is my
right.
My
I like that. See, that's what I love about this bill.
Because, you know, labor doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, right.
I don't think we're done here, but we got a couple other things to hit. We're going to take one last break and come back, and maybe... Maybe we'll be talking about self-service just tomorrow, but there's public defenders in the news. There's Jesse Smollett in the news. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Brent, we're still looking for that missing girl. She's 14 years old. Her name is Aubrey Donovan. And she's been missing since 7:40 p.m. last night. She has brunette hair, brown eyes, 5'4", 120 pounds. She was last seen wearing a gray sweater, blue jeans, and black Vans for shoes. Kaiser and Salem police have a report on this missing child. She's 14, but has the mental capacity of a 10-year-old. And the family was just distraught. They've been up all night looking for her. So,
I imagine that's very scary times. Hopefully, we'll be reporting later on her safe return. If you know Aubrey, if you have any leads at all, please contact the Kaiser Police.
Yeah, Kaiser or Salem. They both have a missing persons report, and she is a freshman at McNary High.
Well, there's a lot of kids at the school, and hopefully somebody knows where she is.
Yeah, they're on spring break right now, so.
Yeah. All right, so we were talking about self-serve gasoline and broadening the exceptions in Oregon. At the so-called ban on self-serve in Oregon and allowing it all over the state and limited capacities at some gas stations.
I think that was the first step in making self-serve come forward more.
Yeah, it's a foot in the door.
Yeah, foot in the door.
Yep. So I've been plenty of times where I'm sitting here, and as a former gasoline station owner, I have pumped a lot of cars, right? Mm-hmm. And so to sit there, and let's say I'm late for a meeting. Let's say I'm supposed to be at the radio station, but I'm getting gas, and it's going to be 2 minutes. You know, I'm already late. It's a big time for me because I think I can get out, swipe the credit card, stick the hose in there, pump it, hang it up, and go before the guy's going to get to me.
That is true.
So for those kind of people, and for those people who are on the clock on the company business, that time efficiency is important to them.
Sure.
So for them to mandate, you know, you need to wait for somebody to pump your own on a completely false presumption of safety.
Well, the fact that you and I both pumped gas at mm-hmm. for gas stations, mm-hmm. I should have a card that I can just flash to them and say, I was a gas station attendant in my younger years. I can pump my own gas.
I've done that. I'm a trained professional.
I could show them how to do it.
Guy looks over at me and I'm in a hurry and I just stick it in there. I'm like, I'm a trained professional. So anyway,
yeah.
Hope I don't get caught. But it is related to labor in Oregon. And it's related to some of the things that are happening in labor in Oregon, just like, you know, we were talking early in the hour with the restaurant owners and going fast casual.
Yeah.
And we've heard from restaurant owners that you're going to see less full serve. We heard it from Jason Brandt of Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, exactly what Jason Brandt was talking about a month ago, saying you're going to see fast casual because of the cost of labor. So, folks, the minimum wage, it's 12, right? Around there. You have to figure at least 20% to pay payroll taxes, workers' comp, things like that on top of that. And
what's going to happen when it gets to 15?
Well, the higher the minimum wage goes, the higher the cost of goods and services are for all of us. So that's what's going to happen.
Have you seen the change in Seattle because they've raised theirs? Portland's doing the same?
I don't do Seattle.
Well, we're going to have to look into that.
Okay.
Because I want to know the effects of... They've all voted to raise their minimum wage to 15 mm-hmm. when the normal is like 12 right now, right?
Yeah.
For most people.
So it intersects again with, and sometimes, you know, Oregon doesn't want to have the reputation of being hard on business, right? Although many of us think that they do.
They are hard on business.
But
ask any business owner.
Yeah. When they want to regulate everything about running your business,
yeah.
that is a problem. They want to regulate how you schedule predictive scheduling. They want to regulate how you do PTO. If it's sick time, it's vacation time, you have to mandate the government. They want to mandate that you administer their state-run retirement program. They want to change how you're doing overtime rules. They want to change, now family leave is in the news. They
right.
want to have statewide family leave in every workplace kind of thing that's mandated. And all of those things make it more difficult to run a business, certainly do a startup.
Well,
it is
right.
a maze.
Well, that's why I asked
things
him.
To try to comply with. So self-service gasoline, I totally get it. When people are in a hurry, they should not have to wait. Or if it's a situation where they could save money.
And but it's the same price. They're regulating that it's going to be the same price here.
Under this current proposal.
Yes, current proposal.
It has not been passed yet.
Dang it. Will I get a vote on it?
Wait till it's not the same price and it's 5 cents different. When it is, there's going to be a huge long line behind the self-serve, and the islands with the full serve will be ghost towns. That's my prediction. And like, well, you know.
That's how self-serve
popped up,
right?
Look at the lines at Costco. All those people are trying to save a few cents a gallon, and they're willing to wait 20 minutes just to save a few cents a gallon.
Right.
What do you think they're going to do if self-serve is a few cents cheaper? Americans have a very strange relationship with the cost of gasoline, and I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, we don't have the same relationship with the cost of our clothing or our milk or drinking water or anything else. But with gasoline, they just think it's one of the constitutional rights to have, you know, affordable gasoline, and they just watch
it's
like
not.
It's so critical. No, it's not.
It should be.
I think I've told the story where some guy came and talked to me and said, hey, he knew of a gas station that sold the same brand, you know, it was 2 miles away, that was 2 cents cheaper than I am. And it was like he had just solved a Perry Mason case. Ha ha, got you. And I'm like, yeah.
2 cents, huh?
And a guy literally said, I'm only going to get $5 worth here because I know I can get it cheaper somewhere closer, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, driving okay. around all over town to save a couple of cents is not worth
it. It's crazy, but people do that.
I wouldn't do that.
There was a dealer on Portland Road here in town years ago, a Texaco dealer. People would drive and go because he was one penny. He'd say, I'll be a penny below anybody else for a penny. Penny times 12 gallons, 12 pennies, and they're going to idle. And it's just like a very strange relationship. They'll drive towards, I mean, I'm now buying at the most convenient place that's on the route in which I want to go, or it's my regular place near my house. But people do. You couldn't pay me the $5 to add another errand in my day. Folks, think about that.
Yeah, right.
How important is your time? Are you really going to go, well, you know, and I'm going to take this extra special trip to go over here to save. Oh, I'm going to waste half an hour in line at Costco to buy underbranded gasoline, and I'll save $1.50. I don't know. Crazy. Oh, we're running out of time. Darn it. Self-serve, though, I'm sure it's going to come back. And we're going to be talking about this because it will be monumental in the state of Oregon if it changes.
Right.
And then once you get to a certain critical mass of how many people are already pumping their own, how many people moved here from California or Washington anyway, or virtually any other state. We're going to get critical mass.
Don't make me drive to Vancouver to pump my own. Come on now.
It's going to be a debate. It's going to be interesting. Just don't pretend that it's not legal here, right? All right, folks, tomorrow there'll be more on the news, some things we did not get to. How we fund public defenders. That's pretty serious in terms of our justice in America, in Oregon. And, you know, I can't help it. We're going to have to weigh in on Jussie Smollett and how it's related culture-wise to people rallying around people in their club.
Yeah.
All right, so stick with us tomorrow. Come back and listen to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKM.
This has been Glenn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.